Start over. Yo ho, yo ho, it's Pyro Live Radio. So grab a beer and sing our cheer for the ocean's best variety show. Yo ho, yo ho, it's Pirate Life Radio. So hoist your sails and swing your rails. It's time for Pirate Life Radio.
That felt all right.
Yo, hello, mateys. Welcome to the maiden voyage of Pirate Life Radio. I'm Captain Kyle Gritchen.
And I'm Captain Josh Wallace.
And we are here to bring you all the musical loot and treasure we have come across scouring the seven seas and beyond. Why don't you tell our shipmates what we've got on the docket for tonight's episode, Josh?
Our friends in 36 are stopping by a little bit later. They're an awesome band from right here in Calgary. They're going to be stopping by Pirate Life Studios in a little bit. We're going to talk about everything from their new album, which is coming out this weekend, I believe.
Yes, Saturday.
They'll have a record release show on Saturday. Not entirely sure if this will be released in time for that, so this may be from the future or in the past, depending. But either way, we're going to talk about that, a bunch of other fun stuff. Before we get into that, we're going to talk about a couple of other bands that we've been listening to lately. I've got a band from Jacksonville, Florida called Flag on Fire.
And I've got a band from Edmonton, Alberta called Forrester. We're going to be showcasing a couple of tunes each for you guys. And if you like the music that you're hearing, we're also going to be sharing the playlist online on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Pirate Life Radio.
Yeah, so we have a few people to thank before we get the show on the road. First of all, we'd like to thank our buddy Eric Kosh for designing our logo. That's that awesome skull and crossbones logo you've seen all over our Facebook, all over social media that we have at this time. So huge shout out to him. He has done an outstanding job with that. It looks sick. Super stoked on it. So thank you, Eric.
A big thank you to Ryan the Wizard Coos for recording our jingle that you heard at the beginning of the program.
Yeah, Ryan is also the drummer of 36, so he'll actually be here in a little bit. We talked to him. I'd like to thank Mr. Brett Cassidy of the Ashley 100 for adding some banjo, which sounds just absolutely nuts. We were totally blown away the first time we heard that, so super thanks to him.
Big thanks to our friends Jordan Cormos and Jeff Hughes for providing some gang vocals for that jingle.
Some very drunk gang vocals, I might add.
Yeah. And a big thank you to anybody tuning into our program or giving us a like on Facebook. You guys are helping us out a lot right now, and this program is all for you guys. So thank you very much.
Yeah, so the first band we're going to play for you tonight is a band called Flag on Fire, as I mentioned before. They are a melodic punk band from Jacksonville, Florida. They just recently released their debut EP with the awesome title of Slack to the Future. Their sound is cultivated from what I would describe as the best parts of the Epiphat catalog. I'm referring to the two major punk rock labels that were around in the 90s, Epitaph Records, which is founded by Brett Gurwitz, guitarist from Bad Religion, and Fat Records, obviously being founded by NoFX frontman Mike Burkett, a.k.a. Fat Mike. Flag on Fire kind of harkens back to that old 90s skate punk sound. Definitely sounds super tight, super sick. Definitely need to get into it. If this next song doesn't get your motor running, you should check your pulse because you're probably dead. This is number 96.
Water away.
All right, so that was number 96 by Flag on Fire. Again, super awesome melodic punk band from Jacksonville, Florida. They actually just recently finished a tour with punk rock legends Guttermouth. For a relatively new band to be touring with heavyweights like that is pretty sweet. So I think they definitely have some longevity, some long-lasting power. And because we love them so much, we're going to play one more song. So this is Losing Ground by Flag on Fire.
That was Losing Ground by Flag on Fire. If you liked what you heard, you can check out our Facebook page and we'll have their music on the playlist that we upload. Or you can check them out on their Facebook page. That's facebook.com/flagonfire. Or you can check them out on SoundCloud as well. That's soundcloud.com/flag-on-fire.
That's right. And actually on their SoundCloud page, you can stream their entire EP, Slack to the Future. So we only played a couple of tracks there. You can check the whole thing out on SoundCloud. Definitely get into it, because those guys are sick.
All right, guys, so the next band I'd like to show for you is a band called Forrester from Edmonton, Alberta. I first fell in love with Forrester, where I think a lot of people fall in love with the music that they do, and that was on a road trip through the mountains in BC. A friend threw on the disc, and I was immediately blown away by everything that I had heard. You've got some really strong voices, some really strong songwriting going on, and I think you guys will really dig it. The first song that I'm going to play for you is called Cherry Tree, and it's the first one that I heard. So here we go. This is Cherry Tree by Forrester.
Check it out.
This is not anymore.
So that was Cherry Tree by Forrester. If you liked what you heard, you can check them out at facebook.com/ForresterMusic, or you can go right to their website at ForresterMusic.com. And on their website, you can actually download their music for free or by donation. Always nice to give a little back to the artists who are giving you some entertainment like that.
Absolutely.
They've also got, if you're in the area of Fort McMurray anytime soon,
good old Fort Mac.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love a good old trip up to the Mac? They've got a show there September 19th at the Mercury Room. That's in Fort Mac.
All right, so looks like the guys in 36 should be here any minute, so we're going to get right into that interview. Before that, though, we're going to play you one more song by Forrester. This one's called Cigarettes.
Glory got to the trenches. Yeah, but we're seemingly blowing. tonight like this.
You're listening to Pirate Life Radio.
Here we are in Pirate Life Studios with the band 36. Why don't we do a little introduction of everybody, starting on my left here. Who do we have?
Ryan.
All right, Ryan.
Mike.
Scott.
Taylor.
All right, hey guys, how y'all doing?
Shirley and Colin.
Oh yeah, Shirley and Colin are also joining us in Pirate Life Studios tonight. How are you guys doing?
Good, I'm Colin. Where are you?
Awesome. I'm Shirley, thanks.
Oh. Alright.
So,
really, Shirley, that was the best intro you guys have ever had on this show.
Up to date,
really has to be. I feel like that joke will never get old.
I've never heard it before.
And I also
so
feel
weird.
Like you're gonna hear that for the rest of your life. So
yeah. You should have just stuck with Dinah. I used to think your name was Dinah. Because it said Dinah. But
on the Tinder.
Yes.
Yes.
We met almost. A week ago? 2 weeks on Tinder now? Yeah.
Keep an eye on big fan of the Tinder app. Big fan.
It's all a blur.
Wait. We're learning so much.
We're learning so much about the boomers.
So how does Tinder work?
So my first question. Yeah, my first question is obviously going to be Tinder related.
Finally, we'll get to the real questions.
You guys are pretty fucking official.
The hard questions.
Yeah.
So first question: where do we go from here? Bad joke. Of course, I'm referring to 36's album, Where Do We Go From Here? I feel like that record kind of marked a new era for you guys. From my understanding, it's quite a bit different from all the other stuff that you released. So if you guys want to just maybe touch on that, how that differed, what changed in the band, whatnot.
Well, we were actually a band.
Yeah.
Because before that, it was just Taylor solo recordings, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's just like the gulf of time between whatever the last thing Taylor did and that was quite a while as well.
It was a pretty, huge collection of things that had been made as far as, back when I was in high school to, as I was recording.
Right.
Bed tracks.
Cool. So, take us back to, the beginning. So if it was just you, Taylor, in the beginning, how did 36 kind of come about? And
you guys were always, it was always you two, right?
In cahoots.
In high school it was just a disturbed young man, and
he always says always.
It was
when
it was in the past.
Yeah, he's still disturbed, but in a different way.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it.
I don't know about that,
but it was just kind of a basement recording project where I just wouldn't. I'd never play anything live. Except
it was something to do other than drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe.
Or along with.
Yeah.
We're not here to
compliment drugs.
It made the drugs way better because then I could,
do something with the time that you're.
Yeah. or just have really narcissistic trips.
Awesome. So then, where do we go from here? Came out 2014.
Oh shit, sorry. I could have done that.
He's literally right beside him.
Ryan!
Thanks for your green old.
Speaking of narcissists.
Yeah.
So Where Do We Go From Here was released, February 14th, Valentine's Day? Cute.
It was?
Oh. 2014. And so you guys.
Online, yeah.
Online. As the full band, the full 36.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that was my first thingy with them.
Yes.
I recorded drums last. They had the whole
That's
album.
That's interesting.
The whole album done, and then I joined the band and did drums.
And kind of totally against you as an audio
guy. Yeah, as an audio guy, that just made me cringe, but
we already had all this stuff made.
Yeah, it was done, right? So I was going to be hey, thanks for thanks for bringing me in your band. Let's scrap this shit.
Yeah.
isn't gonna work.
Yeah, they get into a click and everything.
Yeah.
So
and they had like fake drums in them. So
But Milky wasn't even on that one. Actually, that's before he came in. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's Mike, by the way.
Yeah.
Milky equals Mike.
The man with a million nicknames.
Before Milkel's time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our old friend Eric was playing bass for us at that time.
What happened?
Our older friend.
Yeah, he's still around.
Yeah.
Eric is still our old friend.
Yeah.
Oh, the late Eric.
He plays. He's a recording engineer himself, and he runs a studio. And I think he was just really busy with other things. And I think it was always something that was understood that he would eventually not have time for it anymore. But luckily,
the way you're describing it, mm-hmm. Eric still sounds like he's dead.
So
there's always an understanding.
It was understood that he was a terminal patient,
and he would be murdered on stage. No, that's not true.
That's very guar. Yeah. There's some big shoes for you to fill there.
Yeah, big feet or what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mike's terminal too. So
yeah, it's just a matter of time.
That's you know.
So basically, you're gonna want to get out to the next 36 show before he expires.
Before we all do, really.
Speaking of, when is the next time that we can catch you? 21st
of August, we're releasing a record.
Is that this Friday? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This coming Friday.
Yeah, awesome.
Coming on Friday. You guys
break for releasing.
Upcoming.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is out before, and we are not in the past already.
Yeah.
Well, technically, we are in the past already.
That's a whole nother podcast. That's like some Joe Rogan space time.
Yeah.
So that's your release show?
Yeah.
And what are you guys releasing?
It's a split record with another local band called the Ashley Hundred.
Whose banjo dude laid down banjo for
Did. Brett Cassidy, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The riffs.
So you can hear him on this episode and every subsequent episode of Higher Life Radio.
Yeah.
Kicking ass on the banjo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's great.
Phenomenally, fuck. And where is that show happening?
Night Owl.
That is
Night Owl in Calgary.
Night Owl, yes.
So tell us a little bit about recording that split with the Ashley 100.
It was lengthy.
It took a long time.
I wouldn't say we rushed it in any way. we did all ourselves, so we took our time. So you record like 10 hours one day, and then you don't record for like a month. And then, we just like... And a lot of it was... shit that I had to do, so like editing and stuff.
So you were the engineer.
I'd say I contributed to it being a little longer than it could have been.
So did you like what was your like extra part in it, like engineer?
So basically producer? Yeah, between Taylor and I we recorded all of it.
Yeah.
And it's our first record that we didn't mix ourselves. We sent it off to Warren Livesey. That's how you say it, Livesey.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And who is Warren Livesey?
He's a good British classic rock dude.
He's a music producer and engineer. And
yeah, he did...
He lives in Toronto now.
He did some Midnight Oil stuff, and some 5440 stuff.
He's worked with Matthew Good.
So you're in love with him.
Pretty much all of his career, I think.
Yeah, well, I want to figure out if he did Beds Are Burning.
He told us that.
That's
amazing.
That's best.
Yeah, so he's incredibly talented and really, really good. Good to have a good
he saved us from driving ourselves absolutely insane with our own music, which can definitely happen.
Yeah.
For example, what's that other thing we just put out?
Tiger Tail,
yeah. We had some late nights losing our minds, turning things up and down by half a decibel until arriving back at the original volume it was at.
The joys of recording. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's like... ups and downs to mixing your own music, and ups and downs to having someone else do it.
Because you could spend so much time doing it. You could spend hours and hours and hours. Yeah, and really, it's like knowing... I think you said it's recording's like knowing when to stop.
It's the art of knowing when to give up.
Knowing when to stop and say,
it's
okay,
never
it's
done. It's just you stop doing it.
Because you could do another vocal double or another guitar.
We could remix that thing in 10 years from now. Like it's
I'm sure you could remix it tomorrow if you were feeling
I'd really prefer if I didn't.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
What do you guys mean by a split album exactly?
It's a record that has two EPs on it.
Yeah, so because it's a vinyl, you can play each side.
Do you do songs together?
No, so each band has one side of the album. So like, on side A or whatever we'll call it, we have our five songs, and then on the other side they have their songs. I'm not sure how many tunes they did for it, but
never heard of that.
Yeah, so it's like one side is a different band. Yeah. I've seen a few of them before. Yeah. Like Napalm Palm is releasing one
on the same night.
The same night as us, actually.
A little bit of competition.
Yeah.
All right.
But I was going to ask where it was going down, but for the purposes of you guys and this radio show, we won't.
There's like three release shows happening that night, so it's going to be
a brawl afterwards.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah. We're going to meet in the streets.
It's going to be shooting records at each other.
That's not a bad thing.
I feel like in the spirit of things, it should probably be a dance-off or like a Grease style. Everybody sings and something tragic happens.
A rap battle.
Arena rock. I'm imagining like an Anchorman style battle with
it'll be arena rock versus psychedelic rock.
Yeah.
In the streets.
Not to be missed.
Yeah. Anyway, it's really fun to make the album. Taylor made the demos a long time ago. Taylor and I were working for a siding company in construction.
Which is obviously your dream job.
Obviously. Yeah.
I had to take some time off to be, do the rock and roll thing, but actually, that kind of leads nicely into my next question. And correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I understand, all your albums are self-produced. So if you guys want to maybe just talk about like the advantages or challenges of doing that on your own as opposed to having someone else come in and do it with you.
Well, one thing I think we've come to appreciate is with the fact that we had Warren mix our last one is it's really kind of nice to get like an unbiased opinion on your stuff, because like we'll hear it the way we hear it, but then when he goes and mixes 100 tracks, there's a million ways that song can come out, and then he'll highlight this guitar or this keyboard and we'll kind of be like, okay, that's like a lot different than we imagined, and it sounds great. So yeah, it's kind of nice to get that, but at the same time we like being in control and we're pretty fucking particular, because I can say fuck.
I feel like when you record yourself, you can also take a lot more risks with what you
like. We can spend 10 hours recording some bullshit percussion on a table that we'll never put into the song.
Yeah. if you're paying for studio time, you just don't do that kind of stuff.
I feel like you're wasting any time or anything.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot more like of a. Your creativity can flourish a lot more, I find, if you're not on a schedule.
But that also means that you're recording at your house or in a space that you own.
Yeah, so at this point you're not professional studio, but we're pretty happy with the way our stuff's been turning out. Yeah. So,
do you feel like not having that schedule can hurt you guys at times? Is that like a thing that you guys worry about?
The fact that you're not really hitting necessarily deadlines, so like it might take longer, like we're saying, like whereas if we block out a studio for 10 days all day every day, it's gonna be done at the end of that, but again, like we would have rushed and we would have been like, okay, it's $100 an hour or whatever.
So you guys prefer the like being able to do it at your own pace?
I'll wake up and I'll record a track, and then I'll eat breakfast and I'll record a track, and then I might go try to make some money for a while or get a job or something, and come back, record another track, and it's relaxing.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. I feel like it fosters creativity a lot more because you're not worrying about anything but what might sound cool or what might sound interesting.
Yeah, and you don't have to like compromise. Like, okay, that snare sound is like 90% of the way there, but I'm running out of time. You're not out of time, so I could spend all day miking my snare and then not even record that day and just record the next day. So,
I think maybe we're hoping that someday, if we can afford it, we'll be able to use a studio but have the time.
Yeah, just have it blocked out.
Yeah, so you can get just that little bit of extra quality that you would get from us.
Essentially, what you guys did, I guess, because you.
Or
did you have a scheduled date? No, because you were there like all day, every day.
Yeah, so I, like, for the listeners who don't know, I play in a band called Bad Animal, and we What we did was we rented out 5 days at OCL Studios, which is...
And you could essentially record any hour of the day, right? Like,
yeah, we were there. Like, we could do whatever we wanted while we were there. Like, but the like the people, like the engineers, I guess,
yeah,
like they were only there till a certain time unless, like, we were like, oh, no. Like, there was one day where the guy was there till, like, 1 in the morning recording auxiliary sounds and weird, a whole bunch of weird shit with us. So
yeah.
I think, like... If we had shit we needed to get done, they totally would have accommodated it for us.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
we just made it work within the 5 days.
Mm-hmm. And I must add that this studio commented that Kyle's band, Bad Animal, drank more alcohol than any other band they've ever had.
Yeah, we're gonna put up a plaque on the wall.
I saw. Yeah, it looks like a fucking model depot. It was impressive.
Also, a very nice studio. If any people out there are looking to rent some space at a top notch place, OCL Studios.
I've been hearing
lots
of good things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, a good place to get drunk, apparently. So.
And record music.
It's a good place to pay by the hour.
Beer makes you more creative.
Speaking of beer, who can drink the most beers within 36?
This is an important question.
Ryan. Well, Mike's pretty good.
I don't black out like
I think it's Ryan, though.
Well,
maybe you're not having enough.
That doesn't necessarily
I don't know.
More, I could be a lightweight.
Yeah,
but
who can get the most drunk doesn't mean who can drink the most.
I think Mike can, I think Mike can drink the most.
I don't know.
And he can drink the most and play. Because we'll acknowledge that we're going to go one for one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be like, what pint are you on? He's like, 5. I'm like, that's my second. I'm like, he was like, oh, I forgot to tell you, I was getting another one. And then another one. And I got another, and then... But you play great.
But when he drinks all that beer, he starts to smile.
Because I drank too much to play once, and made me really sad.
No one wants that.
Made
no,
sad.
That's good.
Hide the sadness.
Our worms are cold.
Garbage.
Yeah. Right on. So, not only did you guys record your albums on your own, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, all of your music's available online for free to download.
Yep.
We're at
while I remember, we should put our new video on the website, because that'd be a good way to promote our video. That's
yeah,
because
yeah.
I went on there and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, it is. It is all available on Bandcamp. It's a pay what you want feature.
Okay,
so you could spend $100 million on it if you wanted to. But
that's right. Yeah, I'd recommend that song.
Yeah,
you don't have to.
Is the amount
you're
going for?
If you say yeah, we spent a year on the Where Do We Go From Here, that equals $100 million.
At least.
Yeah. Or free. Yeah.
Whatever. Or free. But don't be stingy. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
If you got $100 million
yeah.
floating in your jacket pocket that you think you could probably put towards a nice group of individuals.
I got
there you go.
I think the hope is that you if you like it,
yeah,
you'll come and
bucks.
Pay to see a show.
Hey,
right.
I think that's what we want people to do.
Sweet. And you guys are a pretty eclectic sounding band. A lot of different influences. So I'm just kind of curious as to like what you guys are listening to right now. Bands that you think are doing sweet stuff.
Well, I like metal stuff. As I've played with both of you in a metal band, actually.
That's a bonus to
yeah,
you, shout
fun,
out.
Fun fact for all the listeners out there. Captain Kyle and Josh Wallace both played in a metal band with Ryan Coops way back in the day.
With epic titles such as Deploy the Sharks.
Bertram is the Devil's Horse.
Yep. Yeah, we're really good at naming songs for sure. I liked that they sounded R8 as well. But
so Ryan, what's something that you liked recently that came out? Or some metal that you liked?
I'm really hooked on Periphery.
Periphery.
Which,
Periphery.
Listening to our music, you might not exactly hear Periphery.
You might not hear a lot of Periphery on the albums.
Yeah, in that way, we all listen to different stuff. And then we...
Kind of
all
just
in
comes
ways,
together and makes the own.
Yeah, like I think I might write my drums a little differently because I listen to shit like that. So sometimes I might make it weirder than I have to.
I think I definitely hear it coming across. Like we have a few pretty heavy riffs in the.
Yeah,
the
now that we're touching on heavier stuff, I'm like,
there's like,
I
yeah,
know what to do.
There's like some serious like headbanging riffs coming up in this split. Like,
yeah, this split is by
that,
far.
I mean,
that
with no
irony.
Coming back to the split, and sorry to interrupt and kind of take it away.
It's all good.
As a guy who's been like listening to you guys for a while, and who's actually been on tour with you guys and heard a bunch of your songs a lot on the split, are we going to hear stuff we haven't heard from you guys before? If I've caught you at a bunch of shows,
We've played all the songs at one point or another. Two of them we haven't played for a very long time, so we're going to try it again.
Nice.
See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, some of, like, a couple of them we've been playing quite regularly, like, the first track, and I think, is Old Bones the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Know and Old Bones, the first two tracks, we've been playing pretty regularly, like, all summer, we were doing them in England, and...
So two of them we have dialed, and two of them we're just going to whip out of our asses, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and the last tune is, like, the last tune's really mellow, so you get this crazy ride, and then...
Yeah.
And then it all settles down right at the end.
It's like it cuddles after the climax.
Yeah.
The best part, right?
Yeah.
Right, ladies?
It's the heaviest stuff, I guess, that we will have released.
Feel free to contribute.
Yeah.
I'm actually just going to sit here very quietly. Yeah.
I usually skip the climax and just go for the cuddles.
This is a guy right
that's
here.
That's a true romance, mm-hmm. yeah.
Ladies. Is he available?
He really likes you.
Oh, he's available.
Colin's available. As of now.
Mike.
Later.
Yeah.
What have you been listening to lately? What's, like, you're driving around in your car, going to...
Yeah, what's in your car?
What's in your car? What are you listening to?
The new Alabama Shakes album.
Alabama Shakes.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Really bluesy and soulful.
Yeah, they're
which is
they're
something cool. that I personally would not put on by choice. which no, that's why we all have a thing of like you and
just so you know, I don't like metal.
No, I only listen to metal.
I only listen to everything Mike doesn't listen to mostly. Yeah, it's good.
That was Ryan shitting on Mike.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, me pretending.
That's great.
To be Ryan shitting on Mike.
Stamp.
You shitting on Mike's head, pretending to be shitting on Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is nice.
Scott, mm-hmm. same question. What have you been listening to? What's
I've been really loving Tame Impala lately. I got into them like maybe a year ago or so, and they're like an Australian psych rock band. But they, yeah. Guy's awesome. Lead singer Kevin Parker, like, he records all of the stuff himself. So live they're a band, but in studio he does every instrument himself.
Okay. Sweet.
So it's almost like it's a solo project, but as a
just
band
has live instrumentation.
But I think it's really cool that he's sort of taking this like sort of retro sound, but making it a lot more modern. And I don't know. He put out a new album recently that
it's
I'm
really
loving. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. What?
Oh, it's funny you should put it that way because I'm a bartender and mm-hmm. one of the regulars I serve at the bar is like a 65-year-old Scotsman who grew up in England during the 60s kind of thing. So he's seen like Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and shit. And he was
that's tight.
And he was talking about how his like grandkid or like I don't know somebody he's related to much younger than he is mm-hmm. showed him Tame Impala and he was like that's what Pink Floyd was doing when I was a kid
exactly.
And he was totally into it so I don't know it was just funny that
definitely appeals to my classic sensibilities because I really love I love classic rock but I also love funk and jazz and all sorts of groovy stuff. A lot of new rock these days is kind of pretty cool too.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Taylor?
I've been really digging St. Vincent lately.
Oh, and she is a guitar hero, for sure.
And, Kendrick Lamar and the new D'Angelo record. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The style of music I like listening to changes, basically, as soon as I finish an album I really like. So I'll just, like...
Do you listen to one album so many times that you can't stand it? And then
not usually. It's very rare that I find a record that I want to listen to more than like a few times.
Yeah.
And that's not because I don't like it. It's just because I want to find something new constantly.
Yeah. Sweet.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
And you guys just released a new music video for Old Bones.
That's
correct.
Super awesome video for anyone that
shout
hasn't
out to all the substance consuming actors in that video. Holy fuck.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into my question of were they actors? Because I feel like for the drugs and alcohol, like mm-hmm. any number of your friends could have come in and
well, I confirmed that the guy eating the food, like, ate all that food. Like, he didn't, like,
he spit
it out or throw it up. Like, he did it.
For people who haven't seen it, near the end of the video, he literally reaches his hand into a cherry pie and shoves it into his face.
Yeah, which,
the whole video is kind of about overindulgence and
Yeah.
And what that leads to.
But it did confirm the lady is not actually drinking alcohol, which had that been, I would have been fucking stoked.
It she appears like that she chugs a
down in glasses, of
whiskey
yeah.
or rum, yeah. but no.
But
not
yet.
No. Because I totally would have done that part for free.
just for
future just references, both hosts of Pirate Life Radio would mm-hmm. take that on.
We will drink.
Whatever you can consume whenever. During the filming time.
Absolutely. So who directed that video?
A group of guys called Not Even Here Productions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe the director is Hans Grossman.
Yeah, and Mike Casper.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, and we were on tour, and we got back from tour, and it was done.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
it was cool. They it just showed nice. Us. They're like, "So, what do you think?" And we're like, "It's done." Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like we didn't know what they were doing. We didn't know who they were hiring. We're just like, yeah. "Here's some music."
We gave
and
them
some
a
video to it, and they
gave them a concept.
It.
And so they just nailed it.
So just to clarify, did you hire them to do it, or did
yes.
they?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
yeah.
They didn't just come to you with a.
No,
we spent a lot of time and money on this, and we hope you guys.
yeah, they didn't sell it to us.
it's not a fan yeah. video.
No, it was a pre-discussed yeah. business transaction.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Based on that, we would gladly do it again because
yeah.
holy fuck!
I believe they have actually filmed another one.
Yeah.
For us
for May 2011.
Oh shit!
On location in various spots of rural Alberta.
Yeah, there's gonna be some. And it's got a twist ending.
Yeah, it's a road trip music video, kind of.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
When do we see that?
Have you guys seen it?
I haven't. No.
Oh.
I'm not sure when that's
yeah.
gonna be.
But I saw they posted some pictures.
I saw pictures.
Yeah,
they
posted
that,
pictures
that look really crazy.
That are really.
Yeah,
it's gonna be sweet.
I don't know how that's gonna play.
I think
out.
It's yeah. Cause it's quite a sugary sweet
right,
song.
It's gonna be sweet. Mike's like.
It's a pretty, I'd like to call it our Mountain Dew summer song.
Yeah,
because I feel like it could be perfect in a commercial.
Or, yeah,
hint.
Which is yeah, yeah.
I'll well, dress myself. Make
anyway,
it happen.
That's why there's
no,
plenty of room for
yeah.
a twist ending.
But then, the music, the footage that's going to accompany it will be quite dark.
I think it's.
Let's good, just yeah. say, like, would my grandma be thrilled after she watched it?
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like thrilled yeah. to death, or it's just
like really excited and scared.
We aim to make people feel things, even if
don't
they're
kill
unpleasant them. Things.
Feel things, even death.
Yeah,
that's what you can look forward
we
to.
Want you to.
Well,
but
what is life without death?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
not there.
Not complete.
It's no.
It's boring.
No
it, yeah, it's not that exciting if you know it's going to turn out okay. Like
yeah, exactly.
It's like every bullshit so. Movie I paid to see this summer. Like, Alright, so now instead of talking about Old Bones, we're just going to play that song because you people should be listening to it right now instead of a bunch of drunk people talking about it. So, this is Old Bones.
right, so that was Old Bones by 36, question mark, 36.
you had it in your voice, you're good.
So, and during the break, you guys were kind of touching on, you guys have written, like, a ton of songs. So, I was kind of curious about, like, your songwriting process. Like, how does that start? Does it start with one person, and then you all get together and learn your parts? Do different people bring stuff to the table? Like, what's that like?
Basically, I'll like, record a demo, like, a full band demo of the song. And then bring it to these guys, and then these guys are like, put their own spin on it.
Like, pre-production is like essentially the first thing we do.
Yeah.
So when we go to a studio, we don't have to do pre-production, because that's what we did before we learned the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he'll lay it out, like, a lot of program drums, or sometimes real drums.
Yeah.
Like, he plays everything. And yeah, it'll be like, because he'll have a vision from day one, and then he'll, like, show us the song, and then, of course, we'll learn it / do it the way we would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But from the moment he's in his room or wherever the hell he does it, he hears a full song. So it's not like he has, like, lyrics or a melody or this. He has a fucking song in his head.
Yeah, and exactly. Basically, all the changes really is the people playing the instruments.
And which is great, because
it slides differences to the parts.
Yeah, the way that he plays drums / interprets them is quite a bit different than I would, so he'll give me lots of ideas that I would never write. Like, if he were to show me, which I've always liked in every band I've ever been in, like, Chris used to write drums too, and then, because everyone will do it different, so he'll write, like, what he would put to a riff,
right?
And I'll be like, holy shit, I would have never thought of that, and then I'll incorporate the way I would do it, and, you know, make it whatever, but, it's, like, 90% done product from day one, so,
okay,
yeah,
and then we tweak it, and then polish it off.
On the split, I think all of the vocal tracks that are on there are actually from the original demos that Taylor made.
Okay,
before we learned.
Yeah.
So that's really that's one of the few original things that's, like, left over from the demos, right, Taylor? Vocals and some of the percussion stuff.
Like, most of the auxiliary percussion, the vocals, and then all the synth and, like, basically anything that I didn't think could be re-recorded.
Mm-hmm.
To sound better, like a synthesizer that's just lined in, there'd be no reason to re-record that.
Yeah,
and then vocals, I find it, like, in the original recording, that's gonna be the most true performance that you could get, because that was when that feeling was actually kind of real. So to re-record the vocal parts, I find often something is lost there.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. An interesting way to do that, but
it's fun doing this and just watching naked dudes in the back.
yeah, there are a lot of naked dudes on the television right now.
there's
a couple girls in there though,
and I don't even subscribe to cable. This is this is Netflix OT shit.
Cool. And then as far as, like, as the lyrics go, do you generally write that before a song, or does the melody come about and then you add the lyrics?
It, like, all just that, like, comes at the exact same time, mostly. Like, so generally I'll have, like, an idea that'll kind of, I'll just have, like, a spark I'll have, and then I'll just, like, write the entire song because I write as I record stuff, so it's just kind of like...
You'll do it in, like, a sitting, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know exactly, but you don't often, like, write a riff and then write a riff, like, over weeks. Like, you'll
hang
out in one go, right?
Lately, I've been doing that a bit more, but not because I haven't been inspired, just because I haven't had time to sit down for long enough to just finish an entire thing.
Right, mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's already in your head.
Yeah.
It's good to go.
Yeah.
So you have, like, a basic idea of...
Yeah, well,
I wouldn't even say basic. He has, like, very specific detail.
The opera.
Yeah. The composition is...
Yeah, you might just leave out a few things, like, I don't know, like a few guitar things that I might add later, but, like, literally it's all in the...
Pretty much all in the master plan.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So it's cool. It is cool to be in this band, and then the material's sort of ready there. You just have to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
So, as the guy with, like, the big idea,
Do you find
who's this guy with the big idea?
Who's this guy with the big idea?
As
the in the world, no,
as God of the band.
Yeah, Taylor, what's it like being God?
All right, so as a guy with a vision for a song, do you find it hard to let go, to let people interpret their own ideas, or does
sometimes? Yes, he does. It depends. It depends. If it's like, it depends it depends on the song a lot of the time. Like, if it's like,
well, your songs seem to be formed a lot by your own personal experiences.
Yeah, it just depends on like the part that I have. If it's really specific, mm-hmm. then I'm gonna be really anal about it. But I mean that it like, if I don't necessarily have something that I had envisioned for a part, and I'm just kind of filling space in the original recording.
But I feel like sometimes we might interpret our way, and really we're like, what do you think of this? And his brain's like, he's like, it's good. Like, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to let him do his thing.
And he's like
he's...
Alright, we can try that in the studio.
We'll give it a go. See where it takes us. No, he's... it's... We have a good... communication relationship.
Yeah. I think it's good to have your parts that are very concrete.
Sometimes I like to play the drums as weird as possible just to freak him out. And then I'm like, just kidding, that sounds ridiculous.
But I think, like, knowing Taylor a little bit, I think that he would like that to a certain extent.
Yeah, and then I play it as a joke, and then he likes it. I'm like, oh, fuck.
No!
I have to do that.
Yeah. Any jokes about like making like really harsh, crazy noise will often work. Be something I'm really excited about.
Like, what if I just lean the guitar against the amp and turn on all my pedals? And he's like, "That's a good idea."
That's what he does in the show.
I've seen that live, actually.
That's gonna be three verses.
Yeah, he's gonna, like dragging the guitar across the stage, or like on a chair, or like But that's the sound, I think.
Yeah.
Smashing the keyboard on top of the keyboard stand.
Yeah.
Or so keyboard riffs.
At the end of my song, he used to just, like, take the keyboard and just, like, put it upside down on the stand so that it...
Which gives you the freedom to play any other instrument.
So then when he goes over to get the guitar, there's just this sound coming out of the speakers, and it's just like, oh, okay.
I think a lot of times the sound guy thinks something went wrong, but no, it was on purpose.
For sure, on purpose, yeah.
Well, I have seen it said, like, you guys in print that a description of your sound could definitely be controlled chaos. And as a person who has seen that, I would definitely have to agree. Because, I don't know, there's a difference between a band playing straight-up noise and a band using noise to an effect of something, to highlight parts of their set or to highlight parts of songs, even. Mm-hmm. And I really do have to compliment you guys on that. You guys seem to harness it really well on stage. Like, it's not just a tool. It's just not just a tool for nonsense for you guys for a lot, but it's like it actually works within
part of the sound
of what you're doing.
Yeah, totally. I think it sort of sets the band apart a little bit from.
Like, sometimes I feel like, compared to these guys, I might play my drums too normally, and I have to learn how to make weirder sounds with them because they're like off on this tangent, and I'm just like. I'm like, no, I can do that. I can just start yelling into the drum mics or something.
No, I'm shocked you haven't.
You need a distortion pedal for your snare drum or something.
Yeah, it's funny when we're getting off on stage and, it seems quite often the sound guy will, like, look at their setup and he's like, so, you guys plan on writing your own vocal effects, eh? And they're like, well, we're gonna. And he's like, great.
Some people are.
We got a guy that was straight up like trying to prevent it.
He's like, I don't want to use it. And I'm like, well, we're gonna use it.
How do you feel about it?
Are you talking specifically about like your vocal effects pedal?
I was always very curious about
that because I see you plug it in every show, and I don't know how. Like, I'm very poor. I have very poor knowledge of how like a sound rig works.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I was always kind
of
curious.
Well, let's just say 99% of the time, the sound guy will run the effects part of like vocals or the mix, but we would have to pay a full-time sound guy to get it even close to what they want to do, which they make it up every time, so it...
And you guys are usually kind of, like, figuring it out as you go, I'm definitely...
Yeah, they're tweaking shit, like, and, so that's part of what we want to do, and some sound guys like it, and...
Some guys aren't paid enough to do it.
I won't say where or who, but one time, on a recent tour, a guy was not impressed that we had the vocal pedals, but we were like, well, we're going to use them, and so he was kind of grumpy about it. But then at the end of the show, what did he say to you, Taylor?
Like, hey, thanks for knowing how to use a microphone.
That was his only comment about it. So I think we won him over slightly.
We won him over by enough
kind of,
does not
kind of, but not really.
He's like, okay, you guys would use a...
I think he was a good sound guy, but he was just like...
Oh, yeah, he was a great sound guy.
I think he wanted to do
the effects himself. He had his way, and that was it.
He wanted to do all the effects himself. He figured he could do it better, but I think he...
Yeah, he's just like, see, you're going to use pedals, right? Okay. Just so you know, in my experience, it's always better every time when the sound guy does it. We're like... Well, that's great, but we're not doing that.
Thanks for being you.
Thanks for sticking around.
Right. Yeah. He also said 90% of sound guys don't know how to do their job.
Yeah, he basically called out every person in the world except for himself.
Do you guys know of any specific training this guy went? Did he go to, like, the ninja recording of sound?
But this is not, it's not representative of all sound guys, that's for sure.
Yeah, no. We're, 90% of sound guys are great.
Yeah.
No, I'd say 99.
Yeah. They're super pro, and they just want to make the venue sound amazing, and that's...
Yeah. And everything is on them to make it so that everyone has fun. So it's...
They have a big job.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah. They're equally as important as the entertainment that's happening on stage.
Absolutely.
Perhaps even more.
Right. Speaking of playing live, you guys have played a pretty fair number of shows, done pretty extensive touring. Do you guys have any stories you want to share? Any favorite tours?
Any particular shenanigans?
I pooped my pants in London.
I haven't heard this story yet, so this should be in
front of a bunch of girls.
As an aside, wait, what?
But I played it cool.
Yeah, how do you play cool after shitting your pants?
I ditched. He was just totally silent.
Let's just say I stopped talking and I had to walk slow for an extended period of time.
I think they had to walk home. They had to walk to our... So we were in London. We were staying by the Tower Bridge. So that's kind of down by the Thames River for anybody who hasn't been there. But so they had to walk home from Camden, which is quite...
Yeah, I didn't do the whole walk with poo in my pants, if that's what you think I did.
No, I didn't think that. It was a long walk,
we were basically walking these girls home.
I thought my face had been frozen, like, this whole time.
And
he ditched his underwear.
Yeah, I did what any sensible man would do, and I lost him.
And then didn't say anything, and then we hung out at their house for a little bit, and then decided to leave at, 3 o'clock in the morning, and then all of a sudden we're walking down the street and Ryan just starts giggling profusely, and we're like, "What's going on, man?" Because he'd all of a sudden been dead quiet. He's like, "Well, when I was in the McDonald's, I was getting rid of poopy underwear."
And as you can tell, the only reason you know is because I choose to let you know. So.
And now, literally anyone who listens to this podcast will know.
Yes.
Ryan has shit his pants as a grown man on multiple occasions.
Well, actually, funny enough, anybody who knows Ryan.
Sorry, multiple occasions?
Okay, that was a bit of speculation on my part, but I assume in your mid-20s, if you've shit your pants once, like, what's to say that won't happen again, or hasn't happened?
I've not once claimed I won't do it again.
And Ryan's a very honest
man. I don't want to do it again, but it's not always up to you. That's the beauty of
anybody.
Any guesses as to what might have caused the poopy pants?
Barbecue chicken pizza.
It was for sure barbecue chicken pizza.
It was definitely food in London.
It was a strict diet of shit sandwiches from grocery stores at four, or a gas station. Fucking corner stores at 4 in the morning, and mm-hmm. and pints and barbecue chicken pizza.
I understand that's what they live on.
Which I had barbecue chicken pizza a second time on that trip, and at that point I learned I need to stop eating that pizza. I didn't poop my pants twice, in case that's what I see why you think that.
I have blinked once, maybe, in the past 10 minutes. What?
Yeah, let's everybody welcome Shirley back into the front.
Shirley has some questions.
Shirley, you must be impressed.
Crash Course and Ryan right here.
Yeah. So, other than shitting your pants on tour... anything else we want to touch on, or is
that really
has
nothing to do with?
I don't know if we can. I don't know if we can top that story.
Oh, I forgot. Were we talking about tour?
Yeah.
Didn't that one guy put his dick into a statue or something?
Yeah, guy. Yeah.
At this point, I'm secondhand embarrassed.
Yeah,
he's stuck
his.
What?
Oh, yeah. No, we were drinking at a pub by the river.
What?
In London, it's a super touristy spot too. It's like a
let's just say families are casually walking.
Yeah, so we were drinking on a patio, drinking beer and stuff, and then we were going to leave, and he's like, okay, I'm going to do one thing before we leave. So we climbed up onto
his... Off all his clothes.
He got completely naked, climbed up onto a lamppost, and did the Star Trek signal.
But where his crotch would be happened to be like an open fish's mouth.
Yeah, so you can... I have photos, but you can see his taut buttocks.
Where no man has gone before.
Yeah, he was quite nude.
And side of the ledge is just like 30 feet straight down to the water.
Yeah, to the river, yeah.
So, like, it was a...
It was hairy.
It was a ballsy move. Yeah,
it was hairy. The situation was hairy.
It was badass. Yeah.
Well, at least let's see the photos and find out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that just about wraps up our interview with 36. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Thanks so much, guys, for doing the first episode of Pirate Life Radio with us. Shirley is just in hysterics right now. She can't believe it.
She's thrilled.
She literally has no idea what she's heard.
The good news is
recorded, so she can recap.
Yep.
Let's hear.
Ryan's live
from New York. It's not
it's
Saturday.
Silly.
It's like first impressions.
Oh, this is first impressions.
Well, if you don't get it now, you'll get it later.
Hot take. I don't know, man.
Alright, so thanks so much, guys, for stopping by. Again, you can catch 36 this Saturday.
Friday. Yeah, it's Friday.
Saturday. But you can also catch us.
We're playing in Invermere on Saturday at the Invermere Invermere Music Festival as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, so Friday and Saturday, mm-hmm. releasing their split with the Ashley 100. That should be sick.
Where can we find you guys online?
What is 36.com?
Yes.
Is that the best place to get you guys' stuff?
No. You can't put question marks in URLs, so.
What is 36.com?
36 number, the number not spelled.
Yeah. Will that lead you to, will that lead anybody to buying your shit or
finding
your shit?
Yeah, there's links to all of our social media and our kind of like iTunes, Bandcamp, all that.
We have merch. You can order the merch off the website as well, so you can get a physical copy of the CDs and the shirts as well.
And by the time this is out, our new video will be on there, right?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. You're talking about the video for Old Bones, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we also have a music video for us on paperback.
Yeah, we were actually
going to talk about that. That one's on the website, but also, Old Bones will be up there soon.
Absolutely. And actually, right now, we're going to play Paperback, because that's probably my favorite song that you guys have done. So, here we go. This is Paperback by 36.
I took my paper back, you're at cover too.
memorize the words. It's here to entertain any kind of weather. It will always deliver.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to the first episode of Pirate Life Radio.
That's all the time we've got for you today.
Thanks so much to 36 for stopping by and chatting with us. Those guys are always a good time.
And big ups to Forrester and Flag on Fire for sharing their music with us, for us to share with you.
And if you like what you heard, definitely give us a like on Facebook.
Sharing is caring.
That's facebook.com/Pirate Life Radio. We'll see you next time, guys.
Bye.